Hey, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Frank About Health. Today, we are broadcasting from the NYU Langone Health System over in New York City, and we are also continuing our trend for the month of May on discussing mental health awareness. Now, first of all, there's another announcement that everyone has probably been made aware of, and that today, May 11th, 2023, is the lifting of the COVID health emergency that has kept us really in a bubble for the last 3 years. And so today I wanted to be outside of the bubble, so which is why I thought that this would be a perfect setting so that we can really also aesthetically be mentally appealing to everyone who's watching this episode. Today's guest is a special guest in the following way. He is going to show a unique solution that he has dubbed the Maury Method. His name is Maury Zelkovich, coming right from Canada, but we're on the same time zone, so that's good. It's not too far from the border. It's an issue of where we're going to learn how to get over the border line, and I will let him go into that discussion shortly. Basically, he is in the science of entrainment for the mind. What would be the specific way? You're retraining your mind, or you're entraining the mind?
Well, what I call is it's brainwave entrainment. Well, what that means is your neurons, which are your brain cells, pulse an electric frequency. And depending on how many times a second they pulse that frequency, that's the kind of state you're in. So people who are familiar with alpha, beta, delta, gamma, theta, that's just the defining area of how many times your neuron is pulsing on and off in a second. And what we do is we use sound and sometimes visual imagery to entrain the brain, meaning taking your neurons, getting them to follow the frequencies that I give them, so that you get different states of consciousness and different ways of seeing the world around you.
Yes. Yes. And for those of you who remember my show last week, that was also held here at the NYU Langone Health Place, we were discussing an epilepsy show where our guest was using spirituality as a way of changing her mindset on the diagnosis of epilepsy. Now, in this particular case, we're still showing how you're taking a condition, in this case, a mental health condition, last week a neurological condition, but the brain is the brain regardless, and yet we want to find new alternative therapies other than the traditional medicines or worst case scenario, surgery or other invasive procedures. There is a way that each of us, whether we suffer from epilepsy, depression, anxiety, stress, or other kinds of psychological and neurological issues, that we can retrain the brain through the frequency and through the Maury method technology that we're going to learn more about, so that you can really live that better life without having to go through processes that are kind of outdated, especially in the world of new technologies. And as Sam Leibowitz said on his show today, artificial intelligence and other kinds of new ways of trying to find cures for long considered disorders that you either had to live with or that were cured. Now, Maury has an interesting, unique story about his battling with depression, which spans now 40 years from what you told me, correct?
Yes.
All right. And like our guest last week, who was in a car accident, suffered one seizure and received a misdiagnosis, ended up in depression and used spirituality to get out of it, he did one level up, and that was by using his knowledge of brainwave engineering and to go ahead and live a better life and actually offer something to everyone else who suffers from similar disorders, which we'll also get into later. So that all being said, I want to first issue my disclaimer. The information you're about to hear on today's show is about a new technology that is useful in helping to deal with mental health issues ranging from depression and anxiety to something that could help with seizure control, has been shown to help with those suffering from dementia and potential Alzheimer's, but it is not meant to be taken as absolute. I'm offering product as a guaranteed solution, but Maury will discuss about the possibility to become involved in it if you feel it might be of use to you. If you're currently seeking psychological or neurological treatment from your current provider, please do not use the information on today's show to make any drastic decisions without consultation with your primary care physician or, of course, the specialist that is treating your illness. That all being said, enjoy the next 45 minutes or so as we learn about Maury's story, his innovation that he dubs the Maury Method, and then we'll give you more time to actually ask us questions live if you do seem to fit the case. Welcome to Frank About Health.
Thank you, Frank.
That being said, Maury,
I appreciate
you. You are so welcome. Oh, you are very welcome, because like when we first have it, I'm getting word that there is a lag. I don't know if it's my conversation or if it's the technology. Are you seeing everything clearly, Maury?
Now I am. There was a bit of a lag earlier, but now it's fine.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to leave room for you to completely share your story, which led you to the creation of the Maury Method.
Okay, so I won't give you the complete story because that would probably take 40 years to say all by itself. That being said, as long as I can remember from becoming consciously aware of my own life, I heard thousands of voices in my head all the time. Mm-hmm. I hated life. I hated people. I hated the world. I hated the universe. I had no reason. My parents were nice. We weren't rich or anything, but we had everything we needed. We had clothes, we had food, we had a roof over our head. I really didn't have any reason to feel this way, and yet I did. I would wake up every single morning for the better part of 40 years. I would stand up on my bed, I'd open my curtain, I'd cross my fingers and wish I would see mushroom clouds. Because if I saw mushroom clouds, it meant that I wouldn't have to live through another day. Now, I tried to end my own life at least six times. I can remember. I've injured myself hundreds and thousands of times. But that being said, if you really want to die, it's actually not that hard to do it. And I made the connection that if I couldn't find a way to die, I maybe didn't really want to. So if I couldn't find a way to die, I had to find a way to live. Because I couldn't go on living the way I was either.
Right.
And that started me on a research odyssey of the better part of 40 years looking for things I could do to feel better. I was addicted to sex. I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to all kinds of weird things and horrible things. Unfortunately, all my addictions just sort of made my problems worse. And as it made it worse, I felt even more depressed. Ultimately, I came across this thing. You know, I tried everything I could find and nothing helped me. I came across in my research, you know, the longer you research, you don't really need to be formally trained. You just become better at it. And I came across this thing called brainwave entrainment. And this was back in the days of the paper internet. Some people might know that better as a library. So I was reading, you know, neurological studies, medical studies, psychological studies. And it seemed to me like brainwave entrainment should really make all the difference in the world. It should help. And yet it didn't. I got even more depressed. And then all of a sudden, like someone flashed a light in my brain, I thought, you know, this technology is the same as it was when it was first discovered. It hasn't changed. And to me, everything in nature needs to change. I change. Hey, I looked at a picture of myself the other day when I was in my 20s. I don't even look now like I could be related to that guy. So things change. Even mountains change. Rocks change. Everything changes in the world. And I thought, maybe I needed to change this. Maybe I'm going through everything I'm going through because I need to change this technology. And I started innovating and I started reinventing it. I created something called dual brainwave stimulation, where I was creating audios that stimulated two hemispheres of the brain to separate and distinct frequencies. I created new technologies and new techniques that had never been done before. Because remember, I'm a self-trained scientist. I'm a self-trained innovator. I didn't go to school to learn any of this. So I didn't know what's possible or impossible. I figured if I can come up with an idea, it's got to be possible. Otherwise, why would I come up with the idea? And that's what led me to create my innovations, that when I started listening, you know, the very first recording I designed took me a month to listen to. the first half of the month, I didn't want to listen because what if it didn't work? Because honestly, I was at the end of my rope. After 40 years of looking, I figured this is my last hope. If this doesn't work, I'm going to live my entire life hating people and hating the universe and hating myself. And I didn't want to be like that. So for 2 weeks, I didn't listen. Then for 2 weeks additionally, I also didn't listen. I got over the fear that it wasn't going to work. Then I had a fear, what if it did work? What if it didn't have the results I was hoping for? So I ultimately listened. And what happened was I felt nothing. It was a half hour recording. I heard everything that I put in it. It felt like half an hour. I got depressed because it didn't do anything. I thought to myself, well, I shouldn't be so hard on myself. It's only the first time listening. What do I expect after 40 years of suffering? And then after that, about 5 minutes passed after the session was over, you know, my listening was done. And what was really neat was I suddenly started hearing the voices coming back. I didn't even know they were gone. I didn't even notice that they were gone. And that just blew me away because for the first time in my life, I never heard a voice. It was silence. It was quiet. Just totally freaked me out and made me realize that I'm onto something here. And understand that the Mori method was designed to help me. It wasn't designed to help anybody else. I'm depressed. I don't care about anyone else, just myself. And when I saw it was helping me, that led to a whole slew of other things, but I finally had real hope.
You know, that's interesting because sort of like in the case of me living my life with epilepsy, when you have, at the time when I was diagnosed, social stigmas, you have all limited medications that are toxic in nature. You still have the fear that you're going to embarrass yourself in front of family, friends, social situations. It's like you're not living your best life because you're always worried about what people are thinking. So you end up coming with certain ways of coping. You did exactly that. You retrained your own brainwaves, and then it opened up your own insight to say, now that I figured out a solution, how do I share this with those that are looking for it but don't even realize it? Because most people, especially with mental... Wait, I'm sorry, say that again?
Sorry, but that is an interesting story about how it ended up getting into the public.
Well, and then now we're 1 minute to break, so we're definitely going to save that piece of the story for the next segment. But the point I'm making is that it is very interesting how when it comes to mental illness or neurological illness, and you've got traditional medicine always using the tried and true methods, what they are failing to realize, or what most people are failing to realize, is that there are other insightful cures out there, but it takes the individual suffering from the ailment to use their ingenuity, their intelligence, their creativity, and hopefully their education to be able to come up with something that becomes a leadership position for others that need to be, as you've said, retrained or entrained.
Very quickly, though, I'd just like to say, not cures, therapies.
What, say that one more time?
You had mentioned that there are cures out there. I would just like to say therapies as opposed
therapies, to therapies. You know, people looking for cures when there only are therapies because of the uncertainty of the future of the neurological or psychological illness. That all being said, please stay tuned as we're talking about the Mori method right here on Frank About Health at the NYU Langone Health System, number one in neurological care in the country, or at least in New York State for starters. But that all being said, we'll be right here on talkradio.nyc and all of our social media in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back. Changed my listening pattern to my earbuds so that all of the echoes, the sound effects during this important lecture is what I'm calling it, Maury, is completely clear to all of you. I mean, the irony is that he's talking about a form of sound engineering and brainwave programming. You don't need to hear distractions and sounds. And as I've just been notified, it sounds much better. So I'm glad this will now open up the floor for all of you out there to start asking questions about what Maury's been talking about. Prior to our last segment, you started to saying that the statement I made about a cure versus therapy led to another story. Would you want to begin to share about that?
Yeah, it's just that. Okay, now I'm getting. Sorry.
You're getting feedback?
I'm getting an echo, yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean,
okay, you know what? I can talk through the echo, so that's fine.
Right.
So the reason I was alluding to the fact that I was selfish in creating this methodology to help myself. And the way it got out into the public eye was a bunch of my friends at the time noticed I was getting better. And they asked me what I was doing. And I told them I created this one recording. At the time, it was just one recording. And they asked to try it. So I gave it to them to try. And then what happened was they said, oh, this is amazing. It's great. I just thought that's friends being supportive. So I didn't think anything about it until I started getting phone calls from people I don't know. They also gave it to, asking me, hey, I'm feeling that. Is that normal? Is that supposed to be? Is this cool? I'm noticing I have more patience. I'm noticing I'm sleeping better. You know, all these things they were telling me. When I realized that people who are strangers are doing that it's working, I suddenly realized that there was real benefit to this and maybe it needs to go beyond myself.
Right. So, I mean, basically what you were learning as you were trying to cope with your depression and creating these sound wave files for your own therapeutic to really look at the light at the end of the tunnel is you were doing what they always say about individuals that do new patterns. You're rewiring your own brainwaves, or not the brainwaves, you're creating new neural pathways as you're relearning new ways of doing things that you've been used to doing in a different way. So I gather the more action you took at actually fighting your depression and getting out of that dark tunnel was in itself. They sometimes say when you're taking action to get out of the darkness, that in itself enlightens you and stimulates the neurons to fire in a better direction or in a better frequency, as you indicated. So it's interesting to see the viral response from others that want to now know about, I guess, the moment you first heard the file and then the amount of time it took after you did to notice the difference. Would you call that a neural incubation period?
I've never used that terminology before, but I might. It actually sounds pretty good because that's really what it is. Everybody is different, but everybody has a brain.
Yes.
And because of that, I believe, my current understanding is at least, that forms of brainwave entrainment, which occur in nature anyway. You know, when you listen to music and you bop your head, you tap your feet, that's all entrainment.
Yes. And when you're walking in the street from being sedentary and all of a sudden you're walking constantly or doing a sprint or a marathon or whatever, it does change your brainwave as well.
And if you've ever been driving and you notice the white lines flickering by you, sometimes you kind of don't pay attention and you get home or to wherever you're going and you don't realize that you've been driving the whole time. That's a form of what's known as highway hypnosis. But in reality, it's entrainment. It's the light of the white line and then a pause. The white of a white line and a pause. Line, pause, line, pause, line, pause. It's just like a sound. Bop, 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 bop.
Yes.
That's what the neuron starts following.
Oh, okay. So in that visual that you just created, there is a sound that the brain is responding to, and that inspired you to create sound files that the brain would be entrained to reposition, especially when certain thoughts that you were used to thinking that would bring you to depression are now being shielded from entering your scope.
They're not actually being shielded. They're being dealt with. They're not actually being dealt with. I was using the street example as a sign of what happens, of how entrainment happens in reality. The way I came up with the sound aspect, well, I mean, other people use sound, but the way I made the relationship was because I was sitting around a campfire on a camping trip. And time passes very, for anyone who's ever been depressed for like a minute,
right?
You know how slow time passes. Well, I noticed time passing so slow. I'm 61 years old and I feel like I'm over 900 years old. That's how much time it feels like. Because 40 years of depression added up, it feels like 900 years. So when I'm sitting around the campfire, I was hearing the wood crackling. The very first time in my life, time passed fast by sitting around that campfire. And I made the relationship between the crackling and the wood. So I started researching neurology, neurobiology, neurophysics, and how it related to our experience with the environment, with sounds in the environment. You know, interestingly enough, you don't hear anything, you never have. Nobody has. Sound is simply the brain's interpretation of vibration.
Right, right.
So these recordings give pulsed vibration. That's why you can't use earbuds with them. Earbuds are too small. Like what you have in your ear right now, they don't have enough amplitude of the signal to create enough vibration. Even though your brain is still going to interpret the sound and it's going to sound the same, the entrainment doesn't happen because of your perception of sound. It happens because of the vibration.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I find interesting, though, based on what you just said? I notice after I complete an episode of Frank About Health, after I take the buds off, or even if I didn't use buds on that episode, it's like I say, where did the hour go? And did I really ask those questions? I guess it's sort of like I'm driving my podcast right now. And then when I look back, I was like, wow, I must have been sharp at that moment. You know, it's very interesting how the brain interprets even visual cues, not to mention, of course, like I guess my buds are limiting me a little bit right now. But at least they're also limiting everyone else from hearing all the behind-the-scenes noise that's right here. I mean, if anything, what I'm really looking forward to learn more about in the third segment of the show is what particular mental and or neurological sound files have you created and how you could exemplify for people to learn how to, you know, even get a sample or learn how even just by having the patients to listen to it for about 15 minutes or whatever the duration is, and then allow time, like what I dubbed incubation period, to lapse because it takes time for new pathways to develop. And therefore, when a stimuli comes in that in the past made the person depressed, it reroutes to the new pathway and makes you, I don't know, more optimistic or maybe want to sing a song or something, you know? So I do believe, like they've said, the brain is the CPU of our bodies, of our whole life, basically. And I guess we have lived, especially during the time of COVID, we've lived in different societal structures that teach us not to use our brain as effectively as we would like. And when people are going through reactions such as being disconnected from each other, or if they are getting depressed or anxious or stressed out because they're not getting enough stimuli, or they're getting too much stimuli, or they're not knowing how to process the stimuli, or the certain detaching from each other, is we're not wired for that. So we're fooling our own brains and creating a long-term vision of post-traumatic stress disorder that most people are unaware of until we face times like this where we're all going back out there, not wearing our masks like we used to. So I think having you on the show on this particular day was timely on many levels. Like I said in the beginning, this is the last day of the federal mandate for a public health emergency known as COVID-19. But it also is the beginning of how we can all take charge and recondition our minds so that we can live a better life post-COVID. And that's what I want everyone on the show to know, that the Maury method, I'm dubbing as Frank About Health's method of self-advocacy. Because I have had talks on the show before about caregiving and about looking at ways of repositioning your thought. If you've been diagnosed with cancer or diabetes or something, there are ways to change it. But if anything, whatever we're changing in our life, health-wise, or even just our quality of life, it really does begin here. And speaking as an epileptic who learned how to monitor my brainwave patterns for the last 35 years, this is something that intrigues me and which I'm looking forward to participate in as we further discuss. All right, we're 2 minutes out, and when we return, Maury's going to talk about some examples of people that have suffered from particular conditions that he has probably consulted with and created sound files for, and give some insight into how useful they can be for the listeners and viewers out there. So please stay tuned on this episode of Frank About Health as we talk about the Maury method with Maury Zelkovich right here on talkradio.nyc and on our Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter channels. All right, we'll be back in a few.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Maury, I'm sure you heard my commercial just now and the music that I had chosen, which I actually just, you know, selected with Sam, literally going back since 2016. The reason why I thought that was the perfect theme music is because, thinking in terms of retraining the brain, I was in the music industry for a while. So I loved the power that music had with my mood as I was doing the job at the company. but simultaneously as I was trying to get through my stressful periods in life, plus while maintaining seizure control for myself. And that particular music, I don't know if you envision like you're driving a car. I was imagining myself on the 405 freeway in California, driving all the way on the, or either that or on the Pacific Coast Highway, going from LA all the way up to San Francisco, as I'm taking control of my life in the car, taking control of my health. Music has a message. It's, I guess, a way of retraining the brain, right? So that all being said, I wanted you to now share some of your insights into the types of sound files you've chosen. Obviously, you picked for yourself anything to deal with depression, a specific file that you probably wanted to share with the public, you know, the listeners and viewers about that file. But have you also created files for Alzheimer's, dementia, stress, confidence? I mean, kind of run through your catalog, if you will.
Well, we don't have enough time for that,
okay.
Quite frankly.
A little sample.
But it's important to understand that your neural activity, your brainwave patterns create chemistry. And it's that chemistry that creates how you feel. So it's kind of like a chef in a restaurant. If you have two restaurants and two chefs, and they both have the same ingredients, one knows how to cook like beautifully, the other one has no idea how to cook. Well, the one who knows how to cook will cook something that's delicious and nutritious. The one that doesn't know how to cook, it won't be so delicious and it won't be so nutritious. That's what the brain does. When your life tastes good, your brain is producing the type of neural activity that creates that really yummy meal that makes your life taste good.
Right.
Alternatively, you're thinking all the wrong thoughts, you create bad tasting food that's not good for you. The human experience is that, it's my understanding at least, that everything we create is related to ourselves and our bodies. Computers work much in the same way we interpret our brains working, all kinds of things. So your brain creates chemistry. That chemistry allows you to feel how you feel. That allows neural activity, and that allows your neurons to form new pathways, which then, I believe, gives your mind more options. So I've created a lot of different recordings for a lot of different things, including general self-improvement, confidence and self-esteem, meditation, general meditation. I created a system called Revitamind about 13 years ago that was designed for cognitive issues. I have learning systems. The cognitive issues was funny because I couldn't get anyone to listen to me for years, over a decade, until Dr. Dan Bredesen, who came up with the Recode program, wrote about it, wrote about one of my programs in his book, The End of Alzheimer's. All of a sudden, now I have doctors and clinicians all over the world suggesting to their clients in certain circumstances to buy my recordings to help them, because they say that they call it meditation on steroids. So if you want to know the benefits of meditation, go to Google Scholar. Don't go to regular Google. Go to Google Scholar. You can just do a search for Google Scholar. It'll give you the link. You'll find thousands and thousands of papers on the benefits of meditation. And much like Dr. Bredesen called it, it's meditation on steroids. So all the same benefits can be yours simply by meditating. I couldn't meditate on my own. It was impossible. I kept questioning myself. Am I doing this right? Am I supposed to feel this way? You know, just too many questions. This type of technology allows you to meditate without any concerns about, am I doing this right? Because it takes advantage of natural factors in the brain, something called the frequency following response, which is the same thing that makes you follow a frequency. Bump, 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 bump. Your neurons will start following it like a monkey seeing what you do with them. Things happen automatically. You don't have to worry, am I doing this right? Because it just happens. You can even fall asleep. How hard is it to do what I do? Lie down, close your eyes, put on stereo headphones, and hit play. That's it. You can fall asleep. It makes no difference whatsoever. Can't get any easier than that. There's nothing to study. There's nothing to read. It takes advantage of nature. Because nature wants you to take advantage of nature. That's how you were designed. When we were cave people, you know, multiple thousands of years ago, what did we do? We didn't have any concept of death. If you and I were walking next to each other, Frank, and I dropped dead, you'd probably grunt and just keep walking. no concept of death. There were no taxes to worry about. There were no health concerns to worry about. Because first of all, everything we ate was organic and natural.
Right.
But we also didn't know about health. We didn't worry about things because we were in the moment. Because that's all we see is in the moment. We cooked, we ate, we went to the washroom. Everything like that was natural. Now we have so many things abusing our brainwave patterns. We have this garbage that distracts us all the time. We're not producing chemistry that naturally we're designed to produce. Is there any wonder our mental health suffers? In my opinion, and I'm not a doctor, so I want to clarify that, but in my opinion, that's why we have all the problems we have, because our brains are designed to function a certain way, yet our society and our responsibilities and our world around us doesn't allow us to function as nature intended us to function. That's why we're on antidepressants. That's why we are on inhibitors for various neurotransmitters and exciters for other neurotransmitters. It's all trying to rebalance us back to how nature wants, when all we really need, in my opinion, again, is to experience natural states for longer periods of time than 2 seconds. And that will allow brains to create the neurochemistry we need to behave normally, calmly, and rationally. Very, very quickly. I had back surgery that I wasn't expecting about a month and a half, 2 months ago. I went into a doctor's office in a clinic. They said, we're healing fine, but we felt a lump and we think we should take it out right away. Within 5 minutes, I was on the table. I was joking around with the doctor while he was cutting this out like a slab of meat in his belly. I mean, literally, I could feel what he was doing. Not the pain, but I could feel the tugging and the cutting.
Yeah.
Totally fine. That isn't me. I should be freaking out and panicking over all of this, but I wasn't.
Because you were living in the moment. You retrained your mind to be in the moment.
There you go.
It's very interesting because it says a lot about how society actually tried, whether they knew it or not, or whether, you know, 240 years of the United States, for example, or even, I don't know how many years that the Canadian provinces have existed, maybe 200 or 300 years. But that all being said, social structures, schemas, as they call them, or even just living life beyond our natural form, that does program the brain for collective identity, for a sense of behaving like your peers. Most people just don't realize that how damaging that had been, that created us dependency on unnatural products or substances.
Well, we have expectations, right? That's the problem. Right. We're taught to react and act a certain way, but we don't listen to our bodies. We don't listen to our minds, which actually knows exactly how we should be reacting. And I believe feeling good is not just a random emotion. And I believe that feeling bad isn't just random either. You feel bad because you're being warned that something is, you're being alerted that you're thinking and or doing the wrong thing. If you feel good, you're being alerted that you're thinking and or doing the right thing. Don't ignore things. You know, if you eat something that gives you heartburn all the time, stop taking pills to get rid of the heartburn. You're getting heartburn because that food probably isn't good for you. That's why your body is giving you a message. If you're sad, if you're depressed, don't think, you know, depression is a red light on the dashboard of your life. It's not there to hurt you or punish you. It's there to alert you that something is amiss and you need to deal with it.
Correct.
My opinion, at least.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think fundamentally, especially when COVID came to town, that was a light on what society had done wrong. And it was also exacerbating that same conditioning by providing an environment of disconnection and misinformation and really no direct pathway to get out of it. It took the society at large to try to come up with a solution that still resulted in the loss of 1.2 million United States citizens. And that's only a fraction of the world population that got lost by the disease. So societal thinking might be a way of allowing us to be civil human beings, but it's not allowing us to be our complete natural selves. So what I find interesting is that where COVID was now making us really fight for our own individual circumstances, it was bringing out the best of us in our own way, you know. And I think what people need to retrain when they come back into society is to retain their individuality at the same time and don't let some of the aspects of society that really don't work for you go into your personality. So I think the issue is living in the moment. The moment is the only thing that matters.
It's the only thing that exists. Frank, exactly. It's the only thing that exists. Let me ask you, can you chew in the past or chew in the future? Can you breathe in the past or breathe in the future? No. When you eat, it's now. When you breathe, it's now. All we have is now. I don't know why so many people have a hard time wrapping their head around that. That's all they have. You know, now is all I have. If you're 120 years old, you only have now. If you're 2 years old, all you have is now.
Right. Most people are conditioned to forget the now and just live in the past towards your future. You know. By the way, we have a question from our audience. Sure. And let me read it to you, and I'll let you answer it. I know that many times change can only be effective if someone is willing to accept it. Many people with general or major depression go through a period where they do not believe there is any solution. Could this method, the Mori method, still help those who don't believe in it at first or are unwilling to cooperate?
So the brain is interesting in that it can be, like, you can fight the effects of my work. There's no question about it. If you want to prove it wrong, you can prove it wrong because that's your motivation.
Right.
But I try to explain to people that there's no such thing as bad in this world, and there's no such thing as good in this world. Even suffering, even pain, even this, you know, for all we know, our lives here last this long in the expanse of our real existence.
Right.
Every one of us has stubbed our toe, and it hurts like hell for a few seconds, and then it goes away. We don't know what comes after. We don't know what might have come before. Bad is something we define as bad. Good is something we define as good. We can choose to define anything any way we want. I think we need to make a choice, and we need to make the right choice, the good choice.
Right. And also, if they're living in the moment, it's easy to make the choice because they can just feel in their gut what is the current choice they need to make and how is it making them feel, hesitant or with anticipation. And
one can
assume if it's an anticipatory choice, you're going to make the choice in the direction that most likely is you're being veered toward, but you're going to end up with a positive outcome.
Look, you know? I have 40 years of depression, and I'm grateful for every minute of it now.
Because it created a technology. It created a – you have become a leader in coping with depression in a unique way that a lot of people need to learn more about in terms of the product and how they can access it. And we're about to take our final break. So when we return, I would like you to share everything about the technology and what format it comes in, where they can go look for it in terms of website or if there's YouTube videos or even some testimonials that you could share, okay? All right. So ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned as we have learned about the Mori method and his case study with depression and how he's been able to recover from it or maintain a better quality of life while living with it. And I'm interested in participating it for myself because, trust me, doing a show every week with multiple sound effects going on in the background is a very stressful thing. But I'm just engaging in this conversation right now at peace. So something is working, even though I'm not listening to one of your sound files right now. But we will be back in a few to continue our conversation, so please stay tuned.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. Maury, I'd like to first publicly say to Sam Liebowitz, thank you again for introducing me to Maury. I have learned a lot in the last 45 minutes about what is going to be a revolutionary program to retrain the brain, depending upon what the neurological or mental health condition is. And he, as I said earlier, he did a show today on the Conscious Consultant Hour on AI and cognitive neuroscience and neurocognitive programming, which is pretty much a big hot topic item, especially in healthcare right now. So my question is, you are an engineer, so you are aware of what AI technology is doing. How do you compare what you have built within the Maury method within the area of AI? I mean, artificial intelligence is actually the opposite of everything we're saying we all need to do to be in the moment. It sounds like it's going to take over your life, even though it's not tried and true yet. So what would you be your opinion on that?
You know, I actually see AI as a real boon and a benefit because it inspires thought. I think depending on how you use it, you know, you can drive a car and take someone to a hospital and save their life. Or you can drive a car through a restaurant and kill a whole bunch of people.
Right.
It depends how you're willing to use it. AI, if you're using it to cheat and to do no work, then it's a horrible thing. You know, I remember when I was a kid seeing sci-fi novels and the pictures were people, robots doing everything for people, and everyone weighed like 1,000 pounds, and we were all like blobs. That's all we were. We didn't have arms anymore because we didn't need them. We evolved out of having arms. We evolved out of having legs. You know, we were just nothing, because that's how we chose to use technology. But if you use technology to stimulate as opposed to replace, then it's going to increase our ability to evolve technologically. It's going to solve and cure diseases like hundreds of years faster than they would have been done ordinarily.
Right.
You know, it's really how we choose to use anything that is going to define what it's going to do to us. Ultimately, how we use it, in my opinion, is going to be the defining factor, which means AI isn't going to kill us or be dangerous. We may use it to kill ourselves or to endanger ourselves, but it's not responsible for that. You know, people say about AI all the time, oh, it's not perfect, it makes mistakes. How many people do you know are perfect and don't make mistakes? AI is perfectly mirroring humanity right now, as far as I'm concerned.
That's true. Yeah, you know what it is? It's that technology has definitely grown at a rapid pace, especially after the last 3 years, that people are looking at it as like an attack monster instead of owning a specialized tool that we didn't have years ago. It's like, I don't know if it's a passive response or just plain old fear that something that is there to help you is people, the first default response is it's threatening your job or it's threatening your life.
That's our choice. Look, there used to be ironsmiths on every corner of every street. There aren't anymore. Ford created the assembly line. Lots of people lost their jobs, but then other jobs were created. You know, this is nothing new.
Right.
People losing their current jobs because technology takes it over. It frees them up to have more and be more creative and do more and end up with other jobs and better training. Yes. It's all a matter, you know, you're right. I don't understand why everyone is so eager to be afraid.
Yes.
I don't understand why they're eager to be afraid. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I guess it's the same people who only live in the past and the future. They don't really live in the moment. So I guess one of the things that has to be developed is a way to retrain your brain to accept new innovations as a blessing and not a curse.
But this is my point, right? Normally finding out I need back surgery, and they had to dig like 2 inches deep to take out something the size of a quail egg. It was like this big that they took out. Incredible. And ordinarily I'd have been nervous and worried about it, but I wasn't at all. I had the ability to think about it in context that this is for my betterment. It's for my betterment. It's not there to torture me. It's there to make me healthier. So right. I saw it for what it was. And because of that, the fear factor was negligible. We can decide. It's like I was telling you, we decide what's good or bad. There is nothing that's good. There is nothing that's bad.
Yes.
Simply a definition we choose to give something or imprint something with. You can choose to give it a good meaning. You can choose, you know, my relationship just ended. Sad. I'm so sad. It was a 5-year. It's a 5-year relationship. I was madly in love. Why did this happen? Woe is me. Woe is me. You know, if you drink milk, it doesn't stay good all the time. There's a best before date. Sometimes with relationships, you've gotten everything you can out of it. You've given everything you can into it. It's time to move on. There's a best before date. It's not woe is me. It's aren't I lucky that I had met this person, that I had this relationship, that I learned what I learned, that I was able to teach what I was able to teach. And now I'm better prepared for the next person who will either be the love of my life or the next teacher in my life. Either way, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's fantastic.
I think we can agree that it is society that created a construct to always be subservient to new ideas and default to the negative because it's a way of controlling the population.
That's my current understanding exactly.
And I'm trying not to get into the political realm, but I guess anything, if it's understood that that is the consensus thought process, then we all, whether we use your sound files or whether we just continue to tell ourselves, don't think that way because it's your choice. It's like a lifelong process of individuating.
Exactly.
That a lot of people got stuck and didn't do successfully, which put them in the default.
I encourage people to remember one thing. If you get nothing else from this chat, remember one thing. You have a brain. You have a mind. You were given that by nature, by God, whatever you want to believe, by aliens. You were given that to use it. If you can walk, okay, and you sit still for 3 days, get up and try to walk. See what happens. Your muscle tissue deteriorates so quickly. 3 days is all it takes, and you won't be able to stand up on your own.
Incredible.
Use your brain. Your brain is a muscle. If you don't use it, it will turn to mush, just like any other muscle you don't use turns to mush. You have an opinion. Listen to what other people say. Sure, if you're inspired by what I'm saying, by what Frank says, by what, you know, a president says, what a prime minister says, what a religious leader says, fantastic. But don't act on it like it's a blueprint for your life. Reimagine, reinterpret it, translate it into your own frame of experience. And then if you're still inspired, take the action. That's why a lot of self-help, I believe, doesn't work. Because there, people aren't told, you know, how can anyone, the big names in the industry, how can anyone know what's right for you? You know what's right for you. I can only be an expert in my own life, not in anybody else's life. So if I say something, it's only going to be good for me. You need to reinterpret it to make it good for you. You have a brain. Please use it. Please. Even if you disagree with me, that's beautiful. You're using your brain. Good for you.
Well, let's, in the last 3 minutes of the show, let's use your brain to show your website that people can learn more about the sound files and how to become involved in how to do brain entrainment to get rid of, or to focus on healing depression, anxiety, stress, confidence, if you could right now.
Okay. So if people want, there's actually a link that I'm giving to Frank. And I prefer you let Frank give you that link when he's ready, because I have a specific system that can be very useful for cognitive issues, for learning, for patience, for stress, for anxiety, for sleep. It may be helpful for all of these things if you use it properly and consistently over time. It's just like doing sit-ups. If you do 3 sit-ups today and never again, you're not likely to get a lot of benefits from those 3 sit-ups. But if you do 3 sit-ups every hour for 8 hours every day, maybe you'll start noticing some difference down the road. It's a matter of changing habits, changing ways of being, understanding that your brain is a muscle and your brain is the central, like Frank said, it's the central processing unit of your life.
Right.
Because of that, it's going to make all the difference in the world. The technology itself is simple. It's natural. It's totally natural. There's nothing abnormal about it. There's no pills to take. There's no medicine to ingest. There's nothing to write. There's no notes to take. There's no reading to do. Everything happens automatically because ultimately the most important part of any of my tech has nothing to do with me. It's your brain. And your brain has all the potential in the world. If your life isn't what you want it to be, that's not a punishment. That's your brain saying, I have a way of helping you. Listen to me. So listen to your brain. Do things you can do to make it stronger and live the life you're supposed to live, which is happy. That's why happy feels good.
Exactly. So where can people reach out to you? By email or by your social media?
They can reach out to me through email at themorrymethod@gmail.com. Morry is spelled M-O-R-R-Y. Or they can just do a search for brainwave entrainment engineer on Google. I'm like 990 out of the top 1,000 results. So.
Yes, because your website says you are the only one doing it, and that is very true. Also, for anyone who didn't have a chance to ask a question to myself or Morry, please email me at frankrharrison1@gmail.com. And he did indicate also that he's sending me links for different sound files. We did not play them on air because not everybody has the same condition. We're not about to inundate sounds that are unnecessary for people, but we can offer you samples to try out and determine if you want to learn more. So you can also email me your requests for such links. Again, depression, anxiety, stress, confidence, Alzheimer's disease, whatever the topic is, email your request to frankrharrison1@gmail.com, and I will get it to you right away. Also, on future shows of Frank About Health, where we are covering such a neurological issue, I will be referring the sound file appropriate for that topic, just like I have so many that I could have referred, but that's your library. So that's why it'll be on demand, as for any of you who are interested to learn more. Stay tuned for tomorrow's slate of shows right here on talkradio.nyc, which are Philanthropy in Focus with Tommy D, Stephen Fry's Always Friday, closing out the week with Intangify with Matthew Asbell. And of course, I'll be back again next week with another mental health episode. I haven't yet figured it out, but I've got 3 that I'm considering. But either way, thank you for paying attention to me at my second week at NYU Langone. I promise the final week of May, there will be a live interaction with Jeff Dimitrek at Hilton Homewood Suites at Edgewater, New Jersey, where I will be at my second anniversary show of Frank About Health, live and in person. So that all being said, thank you, Morry, for being on the show today. Thank you for the question we received earlier. Thank you, Dylan, for producing the show. Thank you, Sam, for making the introduction. I look forward to seeing you all next week right here. Take care. Signing off. Bye.
Business owner. Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today.
Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.